Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome into an abbreviated version of The Beat, 720 WGN. Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen here with you for just another 50 minutes as we have the Final Four right here on WGN today.
It's emotional. It's always great to be able to bring you great college basketball, the Final Four in particular, but to be only able to spend 50 minutes with you today, Adam, it's actually ruined my day, to be honest. Wow. I've got a lot to talk about. I wanted, but we have tomorrow as well, and we've got
we
jam-packed 50 minutes coming at you right now.
Full show tomorrow. So, yeah, the good news is we have the Final Four here on WGN. The bad news is our show only goes till 4. Maybe that's good news for you, too.
No, it's great for the people. I'm just talking about for myself. I was a little, you know, I wanted to talk to you for 4 hours because we have a lot going on. I mean, I wanted to celebrate to start the show today. It's the weirdest weather day of all time.
I know. Chicago has never been more confused.
I mean, I think
than today.
I think weather radio is maybe the worst radio there is, unless like Tom Skilling is talking, and then it's great. But you know, people are like, oh, can you leave the weather? Like, I think that's the worst radio there is. But today was like 1 minute it was sunny and we were in the Bahamas, and the next day we were in Alaska. Yeah. Only Chicago can do that.
It has snowed today. It has rained today. It has been sunny today. It has been sunny while it snowed horizontally today.
It was impressive. Today was.
It's been windy. It's basically been all four seasons in one day.
I've been sitting in my house watching Blackhawks hockey this morning as I'm in playoff mode, as we talked about last week.
Yes.
I'm never going to miss a game. Last night I was out and about, so I had to come, I had to rewatch the win over the Winnipeg Jets 5-4 in overtime. Phenomenal performance by a ton of guys, including Artemi Panarin. And Patrick Kane is just, he's very good at hockey. Have you figured that out, Patrick Kane?
Yeah, I've figured that out. He's pretty good. And it's that time of year where if a game goes in overtime, Brent Seabrook's going to end it. He's very good at that.
Yeah, well, and he, there's a beautiful pass, a beautiful moment, and a great win. And then we got to celebrate last night. The Boston Celtics beat the Golden State Warriors. Those of us who are holding on for a Bulls 72-10, not a ton of us out there, but I feel you. I love you.
I'm holding out for that.
Are you holding
out?
Yeah. It was a big win last night. Celtics on the road. So Golden State's got to lose two more games, which, if they play San Antonio twice, they play Memphis twice, we got a shot at this. The Bulls can hold on. But let's start with Duncan Keith, right? And the suspension. I think that everyone around the Blackhawks, outside the Blackhawks, in the NHL, Hawks fan, non-Hawks fan, is feeling like the Blackhawks are very lucky today that Duncan Keith only was suspended for 6 games.
I think so. I mean, when I saw this live the other night when it happened, and immediately my reaction when I saw the replay was, uh-oh. That does not look good for Duncan Keith and the Blackhawks, especially when you consider what he did to Jeff Carter in the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago. And I was at that game in Los Angeles covering it, and I remember I was sort of towards the end of the Staples Center at the end of that press box and sort of had the behind look and like watched Duncan Keith do that from behind.
Right.
To Jeff Carter, just swing a stick at him. And
was
in the moment, I was like, that was so stupid. And then he only got suspended for 1 game. That was a break, I thought.
It was.
But it's the Western Conference Final and you're going, is the NHL really going to suspend one of the best players, you know, for more than 1 or 2 games here, and it turned out to only be one. But then when you add this one on, and I know there's an 18-month statute of limitations, apparently, and it's we've gone past that in terms of factoring in what he... But when you have a history of doing this, I can't believe you only got 6 games.
Well, let's give a little history here. The NHL started the Department of Player Safety. It was formed just before the 2011-2012 season, so not that long ago. And then this is what they said about Duncan Keith. I mean, listen to what they said. While on his back, Duncan Keith looks at Charlie Coyle, winds his arm back, then slashes dangerously and violently directly into the face of Coyle. It is important to note, this is the NHL again, their Department of Player Safety. It is important to note that Keith is in perfect control of his stick at all times, and this motion is made intentionally, not recklessly. This is not a case where two players are battling for position or puck control and a stick rides up suddenly. This is not a defensive eye stick. It is also not a case in which a player who is off balance recklessly swings a stick in an uncontrolled manner with an unexpected result. Keith is looking directly at his opponent, winds his arm back, then whips it forward in a chopping motion aimed at Coyle's face. This is an intentional, retaliatory act of violence by a player with a history of using his stick as a weapon. I mean, they say all that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his, and there's no, they're spot on. There's nothing wrong with what they just said. That's exactly correct.
This is like when a judge does sentencing in a murder case, like, and lays it all out there very harshly, but instead of saying, and we're sentencing you to life in prison, it's like, eh, you're out in 6 days.
Yeah, well, and, like, right.
I mean, this the way they describe this.
Yeah, you're like, I'm out for 20 games, aren't I? I'm going to be suspended for the first round of the playoffs, aren't I?
Like, the rationale and explanation here from the NHL is about as harsh as it could possibly be, and yet the punishment is only 6 games.
Right.
And it's only one playoff game.
It's as light as can be, unless they were going to suspend him for no playoff games, which have been completely ridiculous. 312-981-7200. Here's a question for you. Does this change your opinion of Duncan Keith now that he's a three-time offender? I'm going to answer I want to give you my answer on that, my own answer to that question coming back here.
Okay.
And we should mention also from Albany Park to Alsip, Brittany and Elliot are trekking north to south in search of Chicago's Best of Pulaski. Tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. 312-981-7200.
Did Duncan Keith get off easy with this suspension? And did the Blackhawks catch a big break? It's The Beat here on 720 WGN.
WGN, happy Saturday, happy blizzard, happy sunshine. This is The Beat with you till 4 o'clock. I'm Mark Harmon, he's Adam Hoge, 312-981-7200. We are starting the show with Duncan Keith and the Chicago Blackhawks. Don't forget the Final Four coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll give you our picks before we get out of here tonight. So, Adam, here's my thoughts. Duncan Keith, right? Phenomenal player. Every team in the NHL would want Duncan Keith on their team, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Duncan Keith, guy that he doesn't mind when he gets checked, but he doesn't like when he gets cheap-shotted, right? I think that's fair. I think that's exactly what he felt happened with Jeff Carter. I think that's what he felt happened with Sedin back in the day. I think that's what he felt happened with Charlie Coyle. Charlie Coyle basically lifted him up off the ice and slammed him down.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it was Coyle should have absolutely been in the penalty box for it.
But in the Jeff Carter case, Carter just... He kind of flipped his glove when he was on the ice.
Yeah, if you forget the play, they're both kind of skating along. They're behind the play. Keith's reaching down to pick up his glove, which had come off his hand, and Carter's kind of messing with him. And he just looks at him like, are you out of your mind? And wham!
Right.
I mean...
To me, that one didn't warrant any kind of retaliation.
No.
He's just sort of messing with the guy.
But he's letting you know, do not mess. There's a word. There's other words.
Right, but I think he's also letting teams know, hey, if you do... I might do something stupid.
And that's fine. But then he's also letting you know, hey, the NHL, yeah, they might suspend me for one game in the playoffs, or they'll give me the last 5 games and 1 game off. I don't really have to worry because precedent continues to be set. Now, I mean, if he does it again, sure. But like, here's my point. Like, Duncan Keith, he's a little bit crazy. He's a little bit, you know, a little over the top. This is not like, to me, it's not like he's on the ice and then he thought about it. That is BS. I'm going to whack you. It's like it's a pure reflex. That is who he is. He's right. Going to have to change.
You got to control it somehow, though. Because this could have been worse. If he gets suspended for 10 games, he's out the first 5 games against the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs. Your whole run to the Stanley Cup might be done and just because of that.
Right, and I would agree with you that he does have to change it, but I don't have any real expectation that he will, and even if he doesn't, I'll take the whole Duncan Keith package. I will. I mean, this is it's not something to be commended, but this is who he is, and it's part of the reason that he's great. This is not the best part of it, but it is part of it because he is that intense, and it plays into how he can play 30 minutes a night and be as focused as he is and be that on edge. It's part of what makes this guy as good as he is, in my opinion.
312-981-7200. Let's take some calls on this. Steve, you're on 720 WGN.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Duncan Keith, I think he got off easy. He should have been punished more for what he did on that ice.
How much should he have been punished, Steve?
To me, he should have been arrested. He should have been arrested. That's my feeling.
You want to throw him in jail?
Well, Steve, if that happened outside of the building, he probably would get arrested.
Right. I mean, do you imagine the other player? He probably busted his nose. Who knows what kind of condition. I mean, you can't play hockey. Believe me, I'm a fan. I'm a Blackhawks fan. But when I saw that happen, I was there at the game.
Uh-huh.
I was there at the game when this happened, and I was just devastated. I could not believe what I saw. He should have just, I mean, you know, when you play hockey, it's a rough game anyway. Those players get knocked into the side, whatever.
Right.
He should have just got up and shake it off, you know. There was no reason for him to take his hockey stick and come flying up with it and smack what's his name right in the face.
Charlie Coyle, thank you, Steve. We got you.
Fortunately, Charlie Coyle only suffered a cut. I mean, but it could have been a lot worse.
Right. There was, exactly. I mean, Steve's talking about he broke his nose. No, he didn't. And he's lucky that he didn't, but he didn't, and he was back on the ice and playing later in the game. Let's all remember that was the case here. And if he had actually knocked him out and Charlie Coyle was not playing, the suspension would have been worse. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Look, I just need to be consistent on this because you know, when the Hawks played the Rangers, a little bit over a month ago, Keith Yandle had one of the most egregious hits I've ever seen. He took out the legs of Artemi Panarin as Panarin was putting in an empty netter right at the end of the game. So game's over, Panarin scores. This is after the puck crosses the line. Keith Yandle just wipes him out with his stick from behind, trips him. Panarin goes flying into the boards on the ice and is lucky he didn't get hurt. Amazingly, Yandle didn't even get a hearing. Like, the NHL just said, that's fine. You can do that. And so I killed Keith Yandle for that. And Duncan Keith here, to me, this is very similar. It's a cheap shot. Shouldn't do it. And you gotta hold him accountable. And, you know, I guess if what Keith Yandle did is zero games, not even a hearing, then maybe we shouldn't be surprised that Duncan Keith only got six games.
312-981-7200. This is the Beat on 720 WGN. To your point on that, Adam, and he's Adam Hogue, I'm Mark Harmon. The NHL, again, they started what do they call them? The Department of Player Safety. Okay, it started in 2011 and 12. In that time frame, this is the second longest suspension, and there's only been five. This is the second longest suspension
for a high stick.
Yeah, for a high stick.
And one of those was Duncan Keith.
Exactly. And Dennis Weidman's 20 game suspension for hitting the referee, which was later reduced to 10, that didn't fall under that umbrella. That was handled by the NHL's Hockey Operations Department. But this is the second suspension, the second longest suspension handed out. The other one, 41 games for Rafi Torres on the headshot. 312-981-7200. Do you agree with the suspension too light? And do you like Duncan Keith any less on this fine Saturday?
Hey, Kevin, you're on WGM.
Hey there, Adam and Mark. Great subject, and I always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
So my history is I'm a over 20-year state and national certified soccer football referee. What we are instructed as we go through our laws, we are instructed to enforce the laws based on what we see. We cannot begin to or pretend to understand what was in that player's head when he or she did something on the field or on the ice. So my point is, you know, with the referees on the ice and then with the folks in Toronto, they can only base their suspension on what they see. You know, he's on the ice. He was knocked to the ice from behind. He was definitely, you know, pissed off. Earlier in the match, earlier in the game, he was actually, you know, hit violently by the same player. So we all can understand, you know, how we can all get really kind of dismayed on what had happened earlier.
Bottom line at first here, Kevin. We're up against the news. What's your bottom line?
The bottom line is, you know, they have to look at what they saw on the ice. was the suspension based on, you know, what they saw on the ice? The other thing is, you know, for the soccer, for hockey, you can also base things on what preceded that in the whole event. But, again, great subject. You guys have a great day. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. And you know what? I think that's what the NHL did here. And a lot of times they screw this up on the ice in the moment, or they don't see it, or they miss something like this. They got it right. They kicked them out of the game immediately. So I think in the end they handled that correctly. We'll take a timeout. We got to get to news, but we're going to keep this going. Got a lot of phone calls on the line. We'll keep the subject going after news. It's 720 WGM. You know, lost in all this Duncan Keith suspension stuff yesterday, the Hawks got a much-needed win.
They
in
did.
Winnipeg, and that was not looking good for a minute because Panarin misses a wide open net to go up two. That would have, you know, it's third period. You think of the game is over, and seconds later, Dustin Byfuglien scores, and this thing's tied. And then Winnipeg takes the lead.
Well, in an overtime, Byfuglien had an empty net, basically whiffed on it. Big Buff was all over the ice last night.
Oh, he probably gears it up for the Hawks. It's Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen here on 720 WGN. It's the beat. We're only going to 4 o'clock today because we have the Final Four right here on 720 WGN. Excited for that. But right now we're keeping this conversation towards the Blackhawks, and the Hawks are back at it tomorrow at the United Center. They return home. Boston Bruins in town for a nationally televised 11:30 a.m. start. We'll be on afterwards. With some extended post, get into some baseball talk too. Full show tomorrow, 3 to 6.
Yeah, Judd Surratt's got your pregame tomorrow at 11. It'll be interesting. I would expect that Andrew Shaw will not be playing.
Yeah, the Hawks actually practiced today, which surprised me. Over at Johnny's Ice House, Quinville. It doesn't sound like Shaw's injury is serious. However, also didn't get the feeling that he'd be playing tomorrow.
Yeah, it's concerning to see that guy go off the ice like he did last night with what looked like an oblique injury, or I don't know. It was definitely upper body, but bottom line, they did get the win, and Toews left the ice, came back. Van Riemsdyk, who's been playing much better as of late, left the ice, came back. 312-981-7200. We'll get into at least what I think is the Blackhawks' biggest issue in a second here. But first, let's get to Sandy on the Duncan Keith suspension. She thinks there's a double standard. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, yeah. I do feel like there's a double standard in hockey because they condone the boxing matches, just like Shaw was in the other night. That one went on for quite a while, and his helmet came off early in that boxing match. And they didn't jump in and try and break it up. Everybody was just standing in a circle watching it. So if they really have the player's safety in mind, why do they allow something like that to happen too?
It's a good question, and we appreciate the phone call. Let me give a couple thoughts here. Number one, with Duncan Keith, by the way, if you're that mad, end of the day, get up off. And I don't like telling Duncan Keith what to do. He'll kill me, and he's Duncan Keith, and he's extremely sensible. But bottom line, get up off the ice and fight him.
Well, Charlie Coyle would probably kill him.
Well, okay then. But he does have that as an option for retribution.
He does.
It is legal to do that. Rather than going stick to the face, you can get up and have a brawl.
Well, Sandy brings up a valid point, but this is a much bigger conversation. And one that goes on in hockey all the time. Why is fighting legal when all this other stuff isn't? But it's like an understood double standard, and it has been for years in hockey.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because the NHL did not think they were going to – they have been watching, I'm assuming, what's going on with the NFL and concussions, and the NHL did not think that was ever going to be an issue. Well, now lawsuits are potentially coming their way, and it is an issue.
And there's scary stories, players dying.
Right.
People
getting cracked into boards, and then also the fighting that goes on. So, I mean, diehard hockey people, they love the fighting because it's part of the game. But at some point, someday, not tomorrow, but who knows down the line, maybe it will not be part of the game. 312-981-7200. Let's take Joe, who thinks the Hawks are too physical. Joe, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, how are you today? You know, I'm sitting there. I've played hockey my whole life. And to me, there's nothing better than a skating game. I understand the physicality of the game has to be there. But last night, Winnipeg, Bufflin was out there trying to go at everybody he could. Even there was even a couple times I think he took a shot at Ladd.
Yep.
I understand that those are former teammates and everything like that. But you know what? The Hawks are – they've got everything to lose now, where you're on the ice with a team that has nothing to lose. And you've got guys the size of Bufflin throwing their weight around, and the Hawks are dropping players like crazy. I mean, is it really worth playing a game like that or trying to play their game? And
so, Joe, you think the Hawks are were playing Bufflin's game last night?
No. What I'm saying is –
because they can't control what the how the teams are playing them. And when they play the Blues in the next series, the Blues are going to do exactly that for all seven games if it goes that long.
But there were so many calls last night during the game that the refs should have made. Here they're taking 4 minutes to make a call on a goal that, in all essence of the call, it was Bufflin's stick that pushed Mashinder's stick into the goaltender.
That was a confusing.
If they watched it close enough, it was Bufflin that forced his stick into the goaltender's stick. But they're spending 4 minutes on that, but yet they're letting Bufflin throw high hits. They're letting Wheeler throw high hits. They're all throwing high hits on the Hawks. When the Hawks aren't that, they don't play that way. They're a skating team.
Hey, Joe, you want Bufflin on the Blackhawks for the playoffs if you could have him?
You know what? I would do nothing better. I would love nothing better than to have Bufflin back on the Hawks.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it was a bad move because the Hawks are a team that they're such a skating team. They don't have anybody, even Shaw. I mean, Shaw's a small guy. He tries to throw his weight around as much as he can, but he doesn't do anywhere near the damage that Bufflin does.
Joe, appreciate it, man. I hear it. That's my point. I mean, I'm watching Bufflin last night thinking, wow.
But I'm confused what the point is. Does he want the Hawks to play more physical or less physical?
I think his point is that the Blackhawks can't get caught up in the chicanery of teams trying to mess it up.
And usually they don't. Usually they just ignore teams that are – they got out hit 23-13 last night. That's normal. That's normal in the regular season. It's normal in the playoffs. They get out hit all the time. This has been going on. Guess how many Stanley Cups they have? They have three in the last 6 years. And that's their game, and they're going to keep ignoring and play their own game. That's what they usually do. It's hockey, though. There's emotions. It's sometimes hard to control your emotions. Duncan Keith got caught up in it, made a bad mistake. And our point here in this show is basically the Hawks got really lucky. This wasn't worse because he could have been out the entire first round and maybe the Hawks don't even get to the second round.
That, and I don't, it's kind of amazing that the whole narrative out there, well, he's getting suspended for a playoff game, so that one playoff game is equal to, say, three or five regular season games. That's a pretty slippery slope when you start saying, well, this one's worth more than that one, so you're going to get suspended less here or more there if it's the regular season. No. I don't think you can really play it that way.
I'll tell you what, though. The NHL wants the Blackhawks to keep winning.
Oh, and that's the other side.
And it's just something that's got to be part of the conversation.
Not one team in Canada that's based in Canada is in the playoffs. The Blackhawks are the biggest ratings getter for the NHL. You think that they wanted Duncan Keith suspended for the entire first round of the playoffs, which could have been a possibility. That's the last thing they wanted. 312-981-7200. Taxi driver Bob has been very patient. Go ahead, taxi driver.
Hey, guys. I wanted to make some quick points that I'll get off the phone, and you could slowly or quickly digest what I said. For one, you know, Duncan Keith is kind of going through some marital stuff, and the Blackhawks haven't been playing too well. I agree with the suspension that they gave him, but he's kind of a frustrated dude right now. And you know, when the guy pushed him to the ice, you know, he lashed out. But the second thought that I had was that that game in particular was kind of a dedication, or maybe, you know, everybody had the stickers for Matt Olson. Matt Olson got paralyzed from going into the boards, and that particular game, it was just really bad mojo that this guy, that Duncan Keith, did that, because he could have seriously hurt this guy when they were supposed to be playing for Matt Olson.
Right.
You know, just really not a good situation at all to commit a penalty like that. I think what they did was proper and all that. But and then my last point is, if you see Jordan Bernfield, say taxi driver Bob says hello, but you could mill over my points, and I'll hang up now.
Thank you, taxi driver Bob. We'll say hi to Jordan Bernfield, who's getting married. We did that last Sunday, by the way. couple of thoughts there. Number one, I don't know what's going on in Duncan Keith's personal life, and neither do you, taxi driver Bob. So, and I don't think that all that, well, if anything's going on.
And you can't bring it to work with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's all spun through his head in that nanosecond and that he just lashed out at, or that he was on edge. That's a pretty big leap there. And then what was his other middle point there?
Matt Olson.
Okay. Well, in Matt Olson, that's a tragic story, and it's tremendous that both the Blackhawks and the Wild are raising money. But once the game starts, he's not thinking about Matt Olson or any other things that are going on in the world right now. He's playing the game of hockey, bottom, or at least he should be, and I think clearly he was. So.
Well, and that gets into the same conversation we have in football all the time, and I have with football players. Yes, when they're off the field, when they're off the ice, you know, there's thoughts about their long-term health and playing as safe as you can. And then when you go out there in the middle and you step between the sidelines or you step on that ice, you can't play hesitant or you're going to get your head knocked off
right
by somebody else. And that's just the way it is right now in these high-contact sports. You have to play a certain way. Now, that doesn't excuse anybody from doing something dirty or doing or swinging their stick at somebody's face, but you can sort of understand why these things tend to happen. You got to control it, and you can't do what Duncan Keith did. And I think he's lucky he only got six games.
No doubt. But end of the day, 312-981-7200. We'll wrap up with the show in a second here and get you ready for the final four. We've got a couple final four thoughts. And I do want to just do a quick peek at the playoffs with the Blackhawks and their biggest issue coming back. But my point on it is Duncan Keith is a guy that he's wound tight. And if somebody messes with him in a cheap way, I don't know if they'll ever be able to stop what now three times it's happened. But I'll take Duncan Keith on my hockey team every single day of the week, even with that as a potential downside to his wearing your colors.
Absolutely. We got to take a timeout. 720 WGM. We'll come back and wrap things up here with this Duncan Keith conversation and get you set for the Final Four, which is coming up here right here on 720 WGN at 4 o'clock.
720 WGN, Final Four coming up at 4 o'clock tonight, right here on 720 WGN. Watch out for Syracuse. I think they're going to be more competitive than people think.
North Carolina by 20.
Wager? I'll bet you a coffee at Starbucks, Adam, that Syracuse is within 10.
You just said Syracuse is going to win.
Well, you just said North Carolina by 20, so I'm splitting
the
difference.
So you're splitting the difference?
Yes. Friendly wager?
Okay. So North Carolina, 10.
Yeah? Great.
You're making it 9.5?
Sure.
9.5.
That's the spread. You got a half point.
I got Carolina.
Hey, one more quick Duncan Keith thought from you, and this would be Albert on 720 WGN. Albert, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I think the way Duncan Keith was upended was just as bad as what Duncan Keith did. What if he would have gotten a concussion and really hurt his head? Would they have been pointing the finger in the other direction? I think he had it coming. And it almost looks like Duncan Keith was just trying to slip over and get back up.
Hang on one second. Albert, would you rather be tripped and taken to the ground or be hit in the face with a stick?
Well, I think the way he was tripped and taken up, though, isn't the game of hockey.
I agree with that.
The way he was upended, that's not the game of hockey, man. So if you got a stick in the face because you did a cheap shot, well, then call it a wash and call it even. If they're going to suspend him, suspend both players then, not just one.
All right.
Well, they didn't, and I think it's because it wasn't as bad as what Duncan Keith did.
I mean,
I think that's the easiest way to say it.
I agree with you, Albert, in the fact that you know what Charlie Coyle did was cheap and dirty, and he should have been sent to the penalty box. But Duncan took it a whole nother step further.
Yes, he did.
So the Blackhawks were edging towards the playoffs here. Five games to go. Edging is probably too light. We're going to be there before we know it. If you look at this season, The Blackhawks had one stretch where they won 12 games in a row and they looked like the best team in hockey. Outside of that, they've looked like a borderline wild card team, which they're going to avoid, and they're probably going to play Dallas or the Blues, and they won't have to start out west, and that's fine. But I think it's just kind of, and I'm always saying that I never doubt the Blackhawks, but when you really look at it, how they're playing now, and hopefully Andrew Shaw is going to be fine, and hopefully Duncan Keith comes back rested and ready to go. But Corey Crawford's been out, and when they won 12 in a row and were dominant, Corey Crawford was phenomenal. So even if Crow comes back, I mean, he's going to be off the ice for a long period of time here. And vertigo, whatever he's dealing with, we don't really know. It makes you kind of wonder.
Yeah, but let's remember the situation last year in the playoffs. I mean, they're switching off goaltenders.
In the first round, yes, but then Crow came back in game six and was then phenomenal.
And then what happened? Then he was phenomenal the rest of the way. I'm not worried about Corey Crawford. Not worried about Corey Crawford.
Okay, so your take is that, but this is a whole other animal. He wasn't hurt then. He was just kind of like mentally out of whack last year at the start of the playoffs.
You could argue that's worse for a goaltender.
Well, physically, though, I mean, if he's like wobbly back there, averted.
I think right now and if that's the case, then he's not going to come back, but it sounds like he is. I mean, Joel Quenneville was on this station yesterday, right? And was optimistic.
Okay.
So, they're not going to bring him back. And they're probably being cautious here, first of all, and timing this right so that he can come back for the playoffs. I'm not worried about him.
Hogue, just put it out there. No worries.
I don't doubt this team until it's over.
Okay.
I always say that.
All right.
By the way, the actual spread on North Carolina Syracuse is 9.5.
I thought you knew that. That's what
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought you were just splitting the difference between what we were saying.
I was trying to get myself a little bit on the plus side and feel like I was.
Oh, you're trying to steal half a point off me.
Being minorly fair. Syracuse, by the way, the last time that Jim Boeheim and Roy Williams faced each other was 2003. That's what college basketball is all about, right? The guild coaches. 2003, Roy was coaching the Kansas Jayhawks. Boeheim was coaching Syracuse. Boeheim beat Williams to win his first national championship. Told Roy that, hey, Roy, you're going to win one too someday. And then, of course, Roy did 2 years later with Carolina. So kind of the first time Boeheim and Roy Williams are getting together. Does that do anything for you? Do you get excited on a Williams-Boeheim?
No, I just want to see Buddy Hield.
That guy.
Light up the scoreboard.
That's your best player in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
You know where he would look good?
Chicago.
That's right. He would look awful good with the Chicago Bulls, who, by the way, are home tonight with the Detroit Pistons. I will be in attendance.
That sounds awful. I mean, really, it sounds horrendous.
Let's do our quick timeout, get you ready for college basketball. Yeah. I forgot about that. We got one more break, and we'll hand you off to the NCAA. 720 WGN.